This is Dirt and Sprague.
I mean, how does a tiger get in the bathroom? He almost killed me.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pants? I find a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Pants at a time like this, I don't have any.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Hey, it's a little too early for being that loud. Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, I'm going to get on that. Let's
Joyce.
Give
him a minute. Joyce is very upset.
Flo, we've discussed this. Mornings are for coffee and contemplation. Coffee and contemplation.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. 1 minute late, even though I was right on time. So
damn
somebody
it, Swigard.
Screwed that up.
That's on you, Swigard.
That is a swag too long
what's
update.
Up, boys? This is what I've got to say today.
Swag has a noodle arm. It's almost pilot season. We're going to lose them soon.
It's over!
It's over. Man, so we got one more. We got less than a week now. Media Day's next Wednesday. It's all over.
What a weird WCC season. Hey, Oregon State's here. Okay, Oregon State's gone now. They're back in their own conference.
Also, Gonzaga kind of wants out, but they don't want out. What's going to happen now? Now, where does the Mountain West go? They're going to have to go poach WCC schools.
Should we talk about Rob Williams being on the trade market? It's almost basketball season.
Trade him now.
Well, yeah.
I love seeing Blazer fans like, no, let's wait till the trade deadline. Because that guy's reliably healthy. Seems like a great idea. If somebody's offering you a bag of potato chips, take the deal.
I made a bit of an announcement yesterday.
Mm.
I stepped away from the Jack Ramsey's podcast.
You did?
Yeah.
It was big breaking news in the media world yesterday.
Well, it was massive. I mean, newspapers were calling and TV stations. I had to turn down TV to do this radio show.
TMZ
today.
Followed you into the studio today.
That's why Shannon Sharp was here in the beginning of the show.
Exactly.
He couldn't believe that I did that. We were talking, and then he got off to the side. And I don't know what he was doing, but it was loud.
Look at you. Time back on your hands now.
Well, it just got tough. Scheduling things. It's a night sport.
Yeah.
Danny schedules. He's going to bed at 2 a.m. I'm waking up 2 hours after that.
Doesn't really fit. Night basketball games and then waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning is a tough thing to put together.
I'm half naked watching the end of those games in bed. He's fully dressed at the arena. That's just a very different lifestyle. And so kids stuff, time management, it became a lot to juggle. But I'm looking forward to the basketball season. I saw somebody send me a comment.
Mm.
I had a few texts last night after this. Somebody sent me a comment and it said, I enjoy him on the morning show, but his co-host is a fair weather fan. I said, you're not wrong.
I don't know. Fair, I would say a realist is what I would say, but, you know, keep drinking Kool-Aid.
That's what haters usually say. They call themselves realists.
Yeah, this is all going to end great for you, huh? Next 5 years are going to go awesome.
Championship. You'll regret not being in that parade.
Damn right
I'll
they will.
Shirtless on a float.
This is all going to work out.
We did it!
I got a vision!
We got a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We did a peekaboo at 6:15, but if you missed that, we'll get back into it here. The Pac-12 is rebuilding. It is not the Big 12. It is not the ACC. Oregon State, Washington State have evaluated the landscape. They don't want to wait. They've got a war chest of money. They're going to rebuild the Pac-12. That was announced last night. Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports broke it. Everybody, of course, had to confirm it.
My sources have confirmed, by the way.
My sources have also confirmed Ross Dellinger, who's way more sourced than I ever will be. I'm confirming his report.
I just love that the people who got duped by the Pac-12 and had bad reporting for a calendar year then didn't get to break this news. That was quite enjoyable.
That is a bit of the kick in the junk. You carry a lot of water and then you don't get
fine.
The big news when it happens.
30 million, Fox, Apple TV, everything's going to be fine. And then the conference crumbles. And then when you get actual news on the Pac-12, you don't get to break it.
They're going to rebuild the conference. They're adding Boise State, Fresno State, San Diego State, and Colorado State. Look at us. We're the state conference now, the Pac-State.
You're damn right you are.
And so those are four. They need two more to get to eight, but they have until 2026. They're going to pay, and I believe I read this correctly, they're going to pay roughly $111 million total owed fees to the Mountain West for these exit fees.
Yeah, that's
of the
combined
four
the exit fees for the school, and then there's a poaching fee on the Pac-12 that was part of the initial arrangement they signed with the Mountain West.
And this was met with a lot of mixed reaction. There's Oregon State fan that still holds hope. This leads to a Pac-12 that we once knew and loved. There's also Oregon State fan that, and we've talked about some of these accounts, or that one a guy account that's anonymous that tweets out that they're getting the Big 12 or the ACC.
Yeah, M3 Haver or whatever.
Whoopsie daisy.
Yep.
Not quite right. And so you've got some also anger being met here because it might have just been your reality the entire time, but some fans were holding out optimism. And now they're met with, you're probably just accepting that you're a Group of Five school now.
Yeah.
And that's your lot in life.
Yeah, I don't blame anybody for having a feeling on either side of the spectrum. I don't know how I would feel. I would probably be more on the angry side if this was my team that I was going through and the realization.
I think it's hard. I don't mean this in a mean way. I think it's hard for you to even put yourself in it.
It yeah,
because
it
of how different the situations completely are, the booster backing, all
that
stuff.
Well, and all the other Pac-12 schools that left are struggling financially, and that's something that my school doesn't have to go through. Like, Washington is sending out messages begging their fans for money.
Yeah.
Jed Fish just donated $1 million of his own money. Arizona miscalculated hundreds of millions of dollars.
They're for sale.
I don't know how Cal is functioning. I don't even know how Cal has like a field or how they hire anybody. It doesn't make sense. How do they cut their grass? They have no money down there.
And so, they beat Auburn.
And they beat Auburn. Yeah, there's the woke agenda for you, Auburn. My school is very unique to that. And so you're probably right. It is very hard for me to comprehend. I would be appreciative of is them taking action and trying to take their own future into their own hands.
Hmm.
You know, there is a lot of waiting around for things to happen that has gone on for Oregon State and Washington State for the last 2 years. We found out 2 years ago USC and UCLA were leaving the conference. The Pac-12 couldn't pull their head out of their ass in time to figure it all out. That should have been the death knell, and then eventually it crumbles. They can't get their TV deal done. And it's just been a lot of sitting and waiting. And when is somebody going to extend us an invite? And when are we going to get a seat at the table? And when's somebody going to do something for us? And so that would be one of the few silver linings as a Beaver fan or a Cougar fan that I would have today, is at least they looked around and said, you know what? Like, dude, we got to figure this out. We're tired of waiting. Maybe the ACC offer is going to be there in 2 years, but I don't know. And I don't even know what that conference is going to look like.
Mm.
The Big 12 doesn't seem viable. So of the options that I have on the table, I can be, you know, up front and say, let's go figure this out and let's start rebuilding the conference. We can take our destiny into our own hands. And so I think at least there's a silver lining of you're not sitting around waiting for something to happen to you. You're making something happen for you now.
I saw Nimick tweet this and I did kind of go, yeah, I think he's right. You're basically you're absorbing the Mountain West.
To a certain extent, yes,
and
but
so
also no.
Well, how no?
I mean, you're not taking Hawaii.
No, but you're not taking two schools. If I made you gamble $100, would you gamble that they're getting Cal Stanford or some ACC school, or would you gamble that it's going to be more Mountain West?
Probably be two more.
Yeah.
Probably two more, at least one more. UNLV makes sense.
But you would gamble on them? On the more Mountain West thing?
Probably more Mountain West.
To fill out their eight spots, right?
Yeah, in the short term, because you got to get there by 2026, and I don't know when. I think Cal and Stanford will eventually be back in this conference. I just don't know when that's going to happen. That's
right,
the hard part.
Right, because it could take 2-3 years.
Financially, it doesn't make sense for them to be in the ACC. Clemson and Florida State are going to leave, and that will allow the floodgates to open for everybody else to leave the conference.
Well, I guess I would also ask, because they are taking a very small share of that ACC money, which isn't amazing. What do you mean by financially?
Just the travel costs with the lesser payout. And if what's the break even point of, sure, maybe you're making $7 million more a year in the ACC, but it's no longer viewed as a power conference because they lost their best schools. And how much are you spending making flights to Wake Forest to play a soccer game on a Tuesday?
It is still a power conference, though. They still have that automatic qualifier for now. Yep.
Now.
And so I think that's why it's enticing for them to stay in it, despite how weird and not logical it is. But his point was, if you do add two Mountain West schools, even if you're waiting for Cal Stanford in 3-4 years, I think some people are celebrating it because it says Pac-12 and not Mountain West. And if it said Mountain West, you wouldn't be yaying so much.
No, and I think the other part of that, I understand the argument. I do think that it's not just simply a merger. This is better than a merger. Now it's going to cost you more. But you don't have San Jose State. You don't have Hawaii.
We don't know who they're going to add. They might have those schools.
I think they're just going to try and get to eight. They're already at six. You only need two more.
Yeah.
So you're not taking all of the riffraff from the Mountain West. There's certain teams in that conference that you just don't really want to be a part of. And so it's not just a simple straight across the board merger. The other hard part about this is we don't know what the final product is going to look like. I don't know what their next move is. Is their next move UTSA? Because that moves my antenna a little bit. It's been a really good program.
Mm-hmm.
They get great support down there. Gets you into the state of Texas to go play games and try and recruit in that state.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes a lot of sense to me. If that's the addition with, like, UNLV, then it's not just a Mountain West merger, and you took five Mountain West schools, two, you already had two, and then you added UTSA to the mix. So that's the hard part, trying to come with some concrete take today, is I don't know what the final product of this conference is going to look like.
Yeah, all we have is the initial take, right? It's what is your thoughts, seeing that they've, in a roundabout way, said, we are who we are, and it is what it is today, and this is what we're going to do. Teresa Gold, the conference commissioner, said, quote, there's a lot of interest in having high-level conference rooted on the West Coast. There's a lot of interest in our communities and fan bases. A lot of people care deeply about the Pac-12 and Pac-12 brand. There is a lot of nostalgia about the possibility of a rebuild. And I would say that was definitely a feeling I had last night of sorting out, you know, how am I upset about this? Am I optimistic about this? All that stuff. There was a moment of kind of pride. Does this sound really stupid? And I'm sure somebody on the text line is going to call, oh, a little brother of you. Pac-12 was our conference, yeah. And it got completely railroaded because USC was terrified of Oregon. And they took the coward's way out and went to the Big Ten. And then everybody followed suit because you need USC, unfortunately. Watching them stick with the brand, it may just end up being group of five for the foreseeable future, and that is a bummer in itself. But there was also a little bit of like, hell yeah, let's get weird.
Yeah.
Let's just be as weird as we can at this point. If we're not getting the Big 12, that was the only conference I wanted to get into. I don't care about the ACC, even though they have the Power Four status. I'd rather just be weird.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what that means financially for Oregon State. I'd imagine it's not great. You're going to get a TV deal, but I don't think it's going to be that much, really. You might be looking like 12, 13, 14 million, maybe.
Yeah, optimistic, maybe 17, optimistic. 18 if you get up there.
I mean, your fingers crossed if you can get to that high.
Yeah.
Just get weird and represent a logo and a brand that we all grew up loving.
Yeah.
And then maybe 5-10 years down the road, all of this goes back and it goes, hey, look, the Pac-12's back. Everybody's back. That's way too optimistic. But my overall point was I did have that moment of like, hell yeah, let's just get really weird. I don't know what any of this means. I don't know how to feel yet. And
I mean, to that point, I'm all for it. I'd call North Dakota State. Do they want to make the jump? That's a hell of a program, man, with a great tradition that knows how to win games.
You're making this almost now. It's actually becoming a difficult conference for Oregon State to routinely win, whereas like I want them to routinely win, so they go to the playoff as a group of five.
Well, you can't have it both ways. Like,
I can have it any way I want. I'm a fan. That's the best thing.
It's like a McDonald's commercial. Now, isn't that their slogan? Have it any way you want.
Give
a
me my
King.
Value yeah. menu.
I want cheese on my burger. I think my whole focal point now would be it is a really hard kick in the nuts, I think, to have that final realization of this is going to be a group of five conference.
That's ultimately really hard. Yes, that's what I'm waking up with today is that. It's like, not that Big 12 was that realistic.
Yeah.
It's more just like, damn, the thing I kind of knew but I didn't want to happen is happening.
Yeah, and it's a year removed from the thing we all kind of felt like was going to happen and you didn't know if it was going to happen, but we all thought, yes. And then it happened and the Pac-12 crumbled. My whole mindset now, if I'm Oregon State and Washington State, and if I'm the Pac-12, how do I make this the premier group of five conference? You have something that all of these other small conferences do not have. And this is why Oregon State fan and Washington State fan was right to pay so much attention to the financial windfall that could come from lawsuits. You have a war chest to play with. Hundreds of millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that war chest is going to continue to get stocked.
You got the bowl games,
the bowl game money, the playoff money, the tournament. All that money is going to get thrown into your coffers.
Yep.
I'm throwing out offers left and right. Like, I don't want this to be a merger with the Mountain West, which is why I don't think they merged with them. They had that option on the table. Just take away the Mountain West name, add Oregon State and Washington State, call it the Pac-12. They had that option, and they chose not to take that option.
Mm-hmm.
So who do you go get to make this the premier group of five conference where, no, you're not going to get the same respect as the Big Ten or the SEC, but you're to a point where almost every year your champion gets into the college football playoff. You can get more TV dollars because it's more interesting football matchups. I can get different markets in UTSA, Tulane, Memphis. I would be all for a North Dakota State. I think that would be awesome if they joined.
Well, that's a passionate fan base, too.
Passionate fan base.
That they can play with, you know, that level of football, I think, consistently.
That is my whole, that's my next strategy is how do I turn this into, with my financial war chest that the American Athletic Conference doesn't have, that the MAC doesn't have, that, you know, insert all the other ones, they don't have. How do I make this the premier brand of that category in the sport?
A little more on this. We'll talk with Jessamine McIntyre about the Apple Cup this weekend. She'll be on the sidelines for Washington State. Also get her thoughts on the Pac-12 rebuilding itself. As Dirt is wearing a Duck sweatshirt, and he's out here screaming at me of how great this is. Didn't have that on the old show bingo card, that's for sure. But an interesting point brought up by our good friend Bill Orham that I want to ask you about, involving this weekend's game with this news. Get to that next on The Fan.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Well, the takes are coming in. They're hot and heavy. Pac-12's back, baby.
You're back. We are back.
Can't wait for that 9:30 football game on Apple TV only. Here, let's read a couple thoughts real quick.
Yeah,
I'll start on the Twitters. Okay, the tweets. Hold on. Scrolling. This one, it says, as a Wazoo alum, I'm with you, Sprague. The only thing I'll add is that the Big Ten SEC eventually break off and go down their own playoff. All of this will be moot at that point. Might as well rebuild the Pac-12 and have our own playoff with the others' conferences and just call it what it is. Another one, yep, it's the right call. I would rather do this than join the ACC or the Big 12 with all the uncertainty with those conferences, especially the ACC. Realignment is over. I would disagree with the Big 12 part of that. Big 12 seems as strong a third conference as you could possibly have at this point, but the ACC point is valid. P1 Tyler says, geographically wise, it makes sense, but I can't see OSU or Washington State fans being thrilled about basically being reduced to a Group of Five level conference. I think most of us were hoping for something more on a P4 level. And I think that's all of this is fair and valid. And, you have every right to be pissed. The writing has probably been on the wall the entire time. And I certainly have plenty of audio where you could pull that says, having me say, Big 12 in 2 years, ACC going to call. And the reality is you partnered with the Mountain West. You got left. You evaluate. And, now it's just how do you fully rebuild? You have six. You need two. I tend to like your idea. It's not a power conference in the Power Four conversation. But if you're going to make a group of five and then wait to see what happens in the future, going after UTSA, I like the Tulane idea. That makes sense for both those schools if you're just going to buy people out of their conferences with your war chest. Memphis, line two. Yeah, North Dakota State. Like, if you're going to get weird,
let's go all the way
spend
in.
Spend the money and get weird and try to get as much as you possibly can out of whatever the TV deal. ESPN late kick windows, streaming. It's going to be a combination.
Mm-hmm.
So just do what you can and get the best teams possible so your brand is respected. And you want to be the conference that everybody knows Dirt is a group of five, but goes, damn, we got to play them?
I don't want to play them.
You don't want to play
them. That's what Boise State is. Did my team just beat Boise State for the first time?
Exactly.
They've always been a Mountain West team, and everybody was skittish.
There's no promises, though, for Washington State and Oregon State that they're the king of that situation.
No, that's
though.
That's up to you.
That's the uncertainty.
That's up to you. That's on your school to hire the right coaches, to invest, and to go do things the right way.
And this is a secondary thought, but those four schools coming in have good basketball pedigree. And as you look to the NCAA tournament as a conference to try to get multiple teams in,
you make money.
Those units will come back. And so they have basketball pedigree. It's important to them. A couple of them have some, historic baseball programs too, which is important to Oregon State. So, so the ability to have some NCAA unit revenue coming back. It sounds like the women's tournament is going to start doing that too. So there will be actual, revenue units for the women's basketball teams getting into their tournament now that they're making some money off of that too.
Yeah, and all of that is a positive. And I think all the other sports will be impacted by this. The primary focus is football. And I think the reason why Yeah, I don't want to be overly positive today because I understand the negative takes on this and the realization of what this means for the future.
You accepted your lot in life is what it feels
yes.
like.
Yes. But I think when you look at the sport of football, the ultimate goal now has become what? Make the college football playoff, right? Like that's the dream. Hey, you got there, you got a seat at the table and you're in the dance, right? Mm-hmm. It's like how we look in basketball of a good season is making the tournament. It's why we were all critical of Tinkle. He had the one Elite Eight run. And he hasn't done anything since then. So now your goal is to get to the college football playoff. If this move had happened 10 years ago, and we were dealing with a 4-team playoff in which the Mountain West champion or the Pac-12 champion was never going to have a spot in the playoff, I would be right there with you with all the, oh my God, this is an absolute disaster. You and I have debated this and still disagree, and I think we might end up both kind of being right on it. I don't ever see the SEC and Big Ten breaking off and doing their own thing. I think it kills us. I just refuse to believe that that will ever happen.
I don't know where I'm at on that sure, take either. What was my initial thought when USC lost?
Here's where you're partially right. Where are all the at-large spots going to go?
Who's getting talked about already?
The SEC. Go look at the top seven rankings. Six of the top seven teams are SEC teams. Now, they'll eat each other alive a little bit, but all the at-large bids are going to go to the Big Ten and the SEC.
The Big 12 doesn't look amazing.
The Big 12's not getting an at-large bid. ACC's not getting an at-large bid. You win your conference, though, you're in. Yeah. And that's the reality that you will be faced with. And I don't think they're ever going to take that away. And so knowing that this could be a pathway to playing, and the most important thing in the sport is what I come back to as saying, all right, that at least gives you something to care about, gives you something to invest towards, gives you something to follow. And if you give me interesting matchups of a Tulane, a UTSA, a North Dakota State, and you make this a fun little conference, it's not just a merger with the Mountain West. Playing Hawaii does nothing for you. Playing San Jose State does nothing for you. Like a listener texted in, San Diego State sucks, they couldn't score, and there was nobody at that game. Understand the take. But you also have to realize you can't be caught in the moment. It has to be about the potential of where you've been as a program and where you could go as a program. And that's a good market that you want to be in, which is why I think they made that move to add San Diego State.
They're also rebuilding.
They're rebuilding, and they got a new head coach. So that is the silver lining here for me of turn this into a group of five that the conference champion is almost guaranteed to be the highest ranked group of five conference champion and have a spot in the playoff every year.
Somebody says Pac-12. CP says needs to go get Notre Dame. That's, pie in the sky. That
not going to happen. Not gonna happen.
Somebody says, good move from OSU and Washington State. Now they both get the S beat out of them this weekend. All right. So everybody's happy with that.
Yeah.
Somebody said Pac-12 got cheated on and left behind. Instead of chasing after the partner, they are using their alimony money to start a new life. Yeah. I don't love that. These texts are getting broken up.
I know. They get jumbled.
But basically, you understand. And San Diego State, to this listener's point, too, like, that's a pretty good basketball program. And
that does matter.
I know it's not the most important thing for people. I get it, all that. Also, your point, everything you just said, well and good. And then Oregon State suffers from being at this level, and they're not competing in that conference, and they're not winning the group of five, and now what?
That's a whole different thing that you've got to figure out.
But
Boise State can do it. If Boise State can do it, why can't you do it?
But that's a school thing.
Yeah, I think that's.
And so at that point,
Boise State's
really
always understood the importance of its football program.
Well, that's on
Oregon
your president
State
to do it. Like,
yeah.
That's on you. Figure it out.
That's a school thing at that point, and it doesn't matter what conference you're in.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying. If you can't compete in this conference, you want to be in a Power Four then? How is that going to change for you?
Well, it's not about that you can't, like, it's okay. So how do I put this? If you're in a Power Four, your money's going to be better. Then it's going to be in this.
True.
Which helps. Money always helps, right? Mm-hmm. When you go from a Power Four to this, you start to naturally lose. The talent falls off even more. And you weren't like recruiting at a high level, but you start regressing back. And then one bad season turns into a second bad season. And now it's like, are you coaching? Are you starting over with coaching? Well, what if you make that wrong? I've seen this with Oregon State like three different times in my life. It's very easy for that snowball to get rolling.
Sure.
And so that's the thinking there. Bill Orem wrote that this was a good move because they're accepting their fate and because they're getting ahead of the Apple Cup and Civil War. And so now the conversation will be during those games. Hey, the Pac-12 is coming back. And I thought, that's an interesting point. Will they get talked about a lot during the game, or will it just get brought up like once and then they'll move on and talk about Oregon and how what Washington, what Jed Fish is?
Well, and the other thing, too, is the TV angle of it is that you will be next in line to negotiate a deal. And we'll see how the landscape falls the next 2 years. But does ESPN want more nighttime programming? Does Apple TV want back in? If you can build this into a premier group of five conference, there's something there that people will want to pay for. Now, you're not going to get $30, $35, $40 million a year.
No.
Probably not even going to get 20, but can you get 18, 19? Can you be somewhere in that range? Or what was the last year of the Pac-12? 25? What was
25, and the report was that Apple TV's deal was 23, and that 23. Was with Oregon, Washington, like... I hope they get 20, but
you need
why
a combo.
Would it only be $3 million less without Oregon Washington?
Sure, but if you can get to 17, 18, and it's just a slight drop-off from where you were before in the last TV deal that you had, I don't know. I know I'm putting a lot of positive spins on this, but I do think there is some meat on this bone that as long as you're functioning and you're doing things the right way, you can capitalize on this.
Jessamyn McIntyre is on the sidelines for Washington State. We're going to do an Apple Cup preview. We still can. Washington State only a 4-point dog against the Huskies in Seattle. And also get her thoughts on the Pac-12 rebuilding since she's on the sidelines for Washington State. Jessamyn McIntyre, 93.3 KJR, joins us next on The Fan.
Well, here we are thinking we're going to do an interview today, just preview the Apple Cup. It's a big game this weekend. Cougs are feeling great.
We still can.
I mean, we still will. But then we get news last night.
Breaking news at 9 o'clock.
Your Pac-2 brethren, we got the Beaver take on this.
Well, it's Pac-12 now.
It is. Well,
we're back to the Pac-12.
You're technically the six pack right now.
Ooh, you know, the Pac-6 was once a thing.
It was a thing.
And now we're going to work to eight.
It used to be the Pac-8.
I hope we kind of get to 10 and stop.
It should be the Pac-10 again.
And then we bring back the Versus Network. And yes. Like, look at us.
Now we're making moves here.
Yeah.
Jessamyn McIntyre, sideline for the Cougs. KJR up in Seattle at Jessamyn McIntyre on Twitter. Good morning to you. Thanks for the time down here in Portland. What was your what's the Cougar reaction to this news? Four Mountain West schools hopping on board. More to come, I'm sure. How are Cougar fans feeling?
Well, this morning I am encouraged by the rebuilding of the pack, whatever we want to call it. We've been calling it two pack, and I like the six pack.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun. But I do think that there is a chance that some other schools might come back. I mean, namely, we'll see what happens with Cal and Stanford in the ACC. I don't really think that that was a great move for them, but it was the only move that they really could make at the time. And we'll see if they end up making the eight that is necessary for us. But I can't speak for all of the Cougar fans because some of them are still sleeping. But I will say that personally, I'm encouraged by the rebuilding of this conference and all the words that were spoken about it when it disbanded and then staying true to just keeping it alive have rung true. And we're seeing that by their efforts to rebuild.
Can I ask you a very personal question? We once had a guest who did a hit from the toilet because it was at 7:30 and too early for him. Are you in bed still doing this interview right now?
No. You know what's really funny? I appreciate the question. No, I'm not on the toilet. You could probably tell by the lack of echo. There's something about tiled areas that have a little bit of a sound reverberation. But no, I am sitting... at my coffee table looking over some depth charts and game notes.
Oh, okay, there we go. We're game prepping.
We're already game prepping.
Okay, so if Cal Stanford don't become a possibility within the year, let's just say, do you have two teams that you kind of would look at and say you hope? And also to kind of piggyback off that as a two-parter for you, there is a mixed reaction from Beaver fans. Some are just cool with this. It's like, okay... Others are kind of upset because it felt like they were holding out for Power Four conference status from somebody, and it doesn't right now look like that's happening. Do you think there's more of a mixed reaction with that if it's not Cal Stanford coming?
I would say I would rather see the Pac-12 rebuilt, whatever it becomes. Pac-10, I heard you guys saying that, you know, you would hope it would become the Pac-10 again. I would hope that the conference rebuilds, and I think it would grow back. If we're six right now and it's, you know, all state schools, it's great. And then, you know, as things progress, as we see what the travel toll will be on teams, as things aren't that great again, what I really saw happening was all of a sudden two super conferences happening. Then basically those two super conferences dividing up regionally, then we'd end up exactly where we were in the first place by having these, you know, five, you know, Power Five conferences. So I really think that it is better off if we rebuild the Pac-12 regionally and then other schools that would benefit from that would, it will take a very long time, obviously, because of the contracts that they agreed to with their current conferences, but it might be beneficial in the long run for them to rejoin. But there aren't two specific schools that I'm eyeing on if it's not Cal and Stanford.
I think that's a good way to look at it. Jessamine McIntyre, our guest, KJR up in Seattle, also does sidelines for Washington State football as they take on the Huskies in the Apple Cup, at Jessamine McIntyre on Twitter. Are you okay, upset, angry, happy, whatever the case may be, about this game being played at Lumen Field and not in Pullman this year? Because it seems like that's been a controversial thing for the Cougs, that they're not thrilled about that.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate, especially for the season ticket holders, because this isn't included in their package, and so they have to spend money on top of that. However, I do know that the student section, the student ticket allotment is almost sold out. It might be sold out by now, but as of last night, it was nearing a sellout. So the Cougs are showing up, at least from the student side.
Okay.
It helps that it's not over Thanksgiving, because people like to travel with their families, but it does take away a little bit from the meaning of the game. Having it always been the last game of the season, it isn't, you know, it doesn't have as much impact, you know, bowl implications, and then obviously for the Huskies last year, playoff implications. So it just doesn't hold as much weight as it once does. However, I do think that having it at Lumen Field, because, I mean, let's be honest, sure, it's not Husky Stadium, but it's here in Seattle
right.
when it should be in Pullman. So there is, I think, a little bit of chagrin when it comes to that among Cougar fans. However, they do want to come over here and paint this place crimson and gray.
You came on just before the season started, and we said, who is John Mateer? And you told us, and we've watched him, and he's the best running quarterback I've ever seen in my life, and he ran for almost 200 yards.
Do we have a new Vanilla Vic? Is that what you're telling me?
Vic.
Daniel Jones is so bad, we have a new Vanilla Vic.
Yes, we do. He's off to a great start. They're off to a great start. Housing Texas Tech on Fox with over a million people watching it on Mike Leach night. Probably no better thing that could possibly happen. They're only 4-point dogs against Washington, and Washington's 2-0, and Rodgers threw for some touchdowns finally. Jonah Coleman's been awesome for them on the ground. You're doing the depth chart. You're doing your prep. What do you think right now, looking at this matchup, how you feel from the Washington State side going against Jed Fish and the Huskies in year one with him?
Well, I think what John Mateer showed is that he's a dual threat quarterback, and I don't think the plan is to run him as much as we did against Texas Tech. Honestly, the defense against an air raid is to drop eight, and we've seen that time and time again against Mike Leach's offenses, is that the defense will just drop eight, right? And so they take away the quarterback, which is the biggest threat. All of a sudden, you have John Mateer, who is a running threat. And not to mention, we have someone named Wayshon Parker on our team. And we also have Javente Schlenbaker, who is another threat. The offense has changed. It is no longer just the air raid. So I think that the defensive adjustment that Washington is going to have to make against this offense is going to be tricky. It is just, it's not cut, fold, paste. It is, okay, we have to actually adjust on every single play because, and it, I mean, yeah, sure, Mateer can run, but they're not going quarterback keeper as a design play every single time. They have multiple options. And they also, by the way, Wayshon Parker has hands. He has hands. He can kick out, you know? And so, I think that just throws another fold into what Washington has to prepare for, and that it is going to be really fascinating to watch. And Ben Arbuckle is a really, really interesting offensive coordinator because he's so young and he is not afraid to throw new things in there, but we haven't seen him get too tricky in this game. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the mad scientist come out.
Interesting. Yeah, there's a good point to that. I will ask you, and you might have just kind of answered it, but on this game, like, is there a matchup that you feel most confident with for the Cougs? And where is the issue that if they are not able to win, where's the concern for you?
Well, I'd really like to see Fa'alili Fa'amoe get back in. I know that he's been banged up, and he's getting healthier, and just having that right tackle position a little more solidified. That is taking nothing away from Christian Hilborn, who has done a really good job in that position. But having more strength on the offensive line, I think, would give them a better shot. You know, Jonah Coleman, he kind of scares me. I'm not going to lie.
He's pretty good.
He kind of scares me. We did see a lot more tightening up on the defense between game one and game two. Guys were a little slippery. It was 17 missed tackles in game one. Against Portland State. But I do think that they really tightened things up against Texas Tech. Coleman is definitely the threat that I fear more. That takes nothing away from Will Rogers, who I think will continue to grow and grow throughout this season. But yeah, the running game is what I think could be the bugaboo for Washington State.
You have a very unique first name, Jessamine, and I'm asking what the percentages of people in your life that call you Jess versus the full first name.
You know, everyone that calls me Jess can pronounce my first name correctly,
yeah.
So I take no offense to that, but it's whatever people are comfortable with. I know, it's so funny, right? My last name's McIntyre. I'm Irish. My brother and sister are Sean and Caitlin, and so my parents just got creative with mine, and it works really well in the media because there's not a lot of Jessamine McIntyres running around there. So people at least remember me.
We have a coworker whose name is Jordan Schultz, and guess who he gets confused with? ESPN's Jordan Schultz, Howard Schultz's kid, and so he hates the guy.
Oh, that poor person.
He hates him. He hates him.
No.
So you're so right. You got a unique name that stands out. Nobody's gonna have it. It's really cool.
It stands out. Jessamine McIntyre.
Oh, goodness.
Sideline for the Cougs. KJR up in Seattle. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy the Apple Cup. Thanks for the time this morning. Not calling from the toilet. From your coffee table. We appreciate it. Let's catch up again soon, okay?
Okay, next time from the toilet, guys.
There you go. Good stuff. Jessamine McIntyre from KJR. Previewing the Apple Cup.
I thought I asked if she was in bed, but yeah. I don't know if I... Did I say that or not?
You said we had somebody call from the toilet and
so
she
said, "Are you in
she
bed?"
She just said, "I can promise you, I am not on the toilet right now." Right. So you know, asking our guests if they're calling from the toilet.
She at least laughed at. She rolled
she
with it.
She enjoyed it.
She might have been offended by it when she got a phone.
Work in sports radio, you got. I mean,
do you know how hard it is to get a guest to come on at 7:30? It lives on the West Coast?
On the West Coast, it's nearly impossible.
You know how many LOLs or ha-ha-has I get when I ask West Coast guests to come on at 7:30?
Not happening. We do have to make our big pee-pee picks today.
We do have big pee-pees.
We will tweet out our big pee-pee picks because a listener said, "I want to see your big pee-pee picks."
You got the big pee-pee.
And we will do that coming up at 8:15. We'll have a lot more on the Pac-12 news today. Let's talk a little Apple Cup, shall we? We'll do that next on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Spray crunch the hot topic. You want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, it's Crunch Time, brought to you as always by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. The Apple Cup is this weekend.
It is.
Taking on a more interesting turn now with the conference news coming out. I think it was a good point earlier that this will be something that is widely discussed on the broadcast. Are the Cougar and Husky fans ready for their Peacock experience on Saturday? This is a Peacock game.
Yeah, same kick times.
12, so why are we playing this game? That pissed me off.
I feel like Washington State and Oregon State are just playing at the same times every week. I don't know what's happening, but we got a Peacock game. We got a big screen Civil War going on. It's going to be a ride.
Husky fan chiming in at the Vancouver text line 503-864-6326. As a Husky fan, I'm cautiously optimistic about the game on Saturday. Still very hard to get a grasp on it. UW needs to get off to a better start. That is something that has plagued them, and I tend to agree with that. Like, it's one of those where Texas Tech is not very good. Washington State forced, what, 6 turnovers in that game? Was that the final tally ended
six.
Up being? I mean, they just turned them over like crazy. Pull away, the number was great. John Mattea runs all over them. So you're saying, all right, that's a great start, but they played a not great Power Four school in Portland State, and Washington has played nobody yeah. two games into the season. And to that Husky fans' point, the first halves have not been very pretty for them.
Mm-hmm.
That was a, 6-7 to 6 game late in the first half against Eastern Michigan. And then you wake up and you do what you're supposed to do against a team like Eastern Michigan, and you win by 20-plus points. So it's one of those games that's really hard to get a grasp on early in the season. And a unique thing for both of the schools, and we'll pick both of them coming up in the final hour, not very often that you get the Apple Cup and the Civil War between undefeated teams, and we have it this year, undefeated matchups in both games.
Week 3, college football. It's also going to be very weird because it'd be massive for Washington State to win this game for the bragging rights, for the, hey, we got our conference, we're building our conference back. But also, it's not a conference opponent.
No.
So, I don't know.
It'd be a great first win for the Pac-6, for the six-pack.
It would be a big
thing. Plant your flag for either of them to say, look at that, we took down a Big Ten team, here is our six-pack.
We should get Adam Scott's brother character from Step Brothers when he oils his abs. That should be our flag.
That should definitely be the flag.
It should just be our new logo for the flag, the six-pack. I don't know. I mean, neither one of these teams, I think, has played an opponent that makes me go, oh, man, I really value this team over that team. It's a four-point spread.
Yes.
Mateer's been great. I don't think Texas Tech is much better than Eastern Michigan. To be honest with you, they barely beat Abilene Christian at home the week before.
And they're not good on the road on top of it.
I should have sprayed the line on the Cougs to just blow them out. That was a mistake by me, but that didn't shock me. And then Washington's played, as you mentioned, nobody. They're just in interesting spots because it's this year, what, 3 for Dickert?
This is year 3 for Dickert. He's had some really good quotes this week about how impactful. They won the Apple Cup in 21, would it have been? And that got him the job.
Yeah.
He was the interim guy. Right, he won that game. Rolovich was, that whole thing.
Has he been hired?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah.
I do think... I think
a good coach, hasn't been hired.
People from his staff have gotten hired.
All the people that got canceled from the COVID stuff are doing just fine now. Yes. He's the one guy that can't get hired.
But that win basically cemented his status as the head coach.
Gotcha. I think it'd just be massive for them for momentum. Because I don't know how much it's going to get brought up on the broadcast. I'd imagine at some low points of the game, they will talk about the Pac-12 rebuilding itself. But you add a little more juice if they can get a win out of this. If the Huskies end up pounding you in the year one Jedfish rebuild,
yeah,
that's going to be a little difficult.
Not good. Did we get the Cougar audio in time, Swag? That was kind of a last second request for you. Did we find it there?
Cougar audio?
Oh, it's uploading now. So we actually have
Cougar growling.
It's a Cougar growl. Yeah, It's Swag took the audio from his Nickelback concerts back in the day. All the Cougars that were screaming and walking around. It's that not that kind of
Shannon
Cougar
Sharp
audio.
Cougar growls.
No, but we actually have at least one of the things that's been interesting about the Civil War this week. There hasn't been we talked about Ryan Gunderson yesterday, and he took the look. I'm just every nameless faceless opponent route.
They and Corvallis are not trying to build any bulletin board material. Whereas like Dan Lanning is sitting in the. Oh, I've never forgotten the 19 straight runs.
Yeah, right. It's kind of unique. You figured it'd be the other way around, where Oregon's, we're playing Oregon this week, and you get the trash talk from Oregon State. Hasn't been a lot. We at least have a little bit of red meat in the Civil War. This comes to you from Tyson Durant. He is a Washington State safety, and here he was after practice.
You know, he's a pretty accurate passer. Not much on the legs. He can get loose, but he's not too much on the running side. I know he's coming from air raid as well, so... they're trying to fit him in a pro-style offense, so I know that might be a little difficult for him. So we can just shake him up under the center and get some pressure, get some people in his face. I know he hasn't even faced near the D-line we have over here. So we get some pressure on him. I think he's going to struggle.
A little bit of it's not a lot.
He's going to struggle.
It's not a lot, but it's something.
Yeah,
and I appreciate a little bit. Just give me a little bit of bulletin board material, and you got that going. And Rolovich was on with Jason Puckett up in Seattle, and he was talking to Cougar fans trying to – beg is too strong of a word, but like, come on, man.
Rally.
Like, this is a big time for us. This is a big opportunity for us. I know it sucks that the game's not in Pullman. I'm not thrilled about it. Our damn AD went to Seattle. Like, of course I'm upset about all that, but you got to show up. You got to support. Excited for this one. 12:30 on Saturday. And we will pick it amongst our big PP picks in the final hour.
It's got a lot of juice for you.
It does.
We got juice for the Oregon State. It does.
I think Washington State has a chance to be a really, like, Jessamyn McIntyre, we kind of chuckled when she said preseason they're a 10-win team. I know they played nobody, but they've looked good playing nobody. Two games in end of the year. John Mateer is a good athlete.
This would be a massive win, a Big Ten win.
Huge, dude, for either of the state schools this weekend. To get that win to the team that left you in-state, left you behind, now you're trying to rebuild the conference, would be massive for them to win. So they both have a lot of juice for me, and I'm excited for them. I'll be dual screening it on Saturday, Apple Cup 12:30. We will pick that game in the final hour. We'll get back into the big breaking news of the rebuilt Pac-12. We got a lot of football still to get to, including a nice little Thursday night football game. It's a loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.